Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that there's never been a moment that you didn't love us. That you love us when we mess up. You love us when we are faithful and do the right thing. Father, you just love us. And that's a kind of love that we don't really understand. But God, it's a kind of love that we need from you. Father, thank you for the chance to be here today. Remember Mr. Rich a little bit today. Father, talk about the fact that one day, Father, that we are all going to make that journey and that we need to be ready. Father, thank you for your words already today. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, Pastor, I'm sorry to bother you. Can April sing during the invitation?
Absolutely. Okay. April, I'd love for you to sing. If you can do that, that would be great.
Thank you.
Kathy just came to me, and they may be leaving here in a minute, but Ruth, I believe she said, or Ruth's aunt, had a massive heart attack a while ago and has passed away. She gave me her name, and I forgot it, but we need to put that family on the prayer list.
Sure it's not her cousin that's been so sick?
I think she said cousin.
Oh, yeah, you said aunt. Okay, sorry about that.
But I will get the name here in a minute. If they come back in here, they're in the office now. We need to remember them. Our scripture verse today is in Hebrews, the 9th chapter. You know, when I heard the news a couple of weeks ago that Mr. Rich had passed away, it was news I hadn't been planning on. It wasn't something I had expected. I had visited with Galen on Sunday before he passed away, and he was looking forward to so many things. He was planning on making a move from the nursing home he was in into the group home that Kelly was living in. I had talked with the owner of that place and verified that Galen was going to get it to move into a room over there, and Kelly and Galen could be closer together. He was preparing, he said on Monday he was going to go have a procedure that he had been waiting on, and it was going to make him feel much better. That Sunday, he didn't feel like he was strong enough to come to church. But he said, you know, after this procedure, I shouldn't miss any more Sunday. And he didn't want to miss church. A lot of us look for ways to get out of church, don't we?
Yeah.
We find ways to get out of church. But Mr. Rich didn't look for ways to get out of church. He looked for ways to get to come to church, because he felt that was a privilege.
Amen.
To get to come to church. And that's the way we should feel about church. We should feel like church is a blessing to us, not something we have to do to pay a penance to God. That's not what it's about. Yes.
Oh, and I know.
You're that same way, Kaylin. I appreciate it. When I would go on the bus to pick Mr. Rich up, and Tim and him can remember that, he would sit at the door waiting for us. You know, it wasn't like I had to go hunt him down. If he wasn't sitting at the door, I knew he probably wasn't. And there had been a couple of times he had gone to his room and fallen asleep. He said, oh, help me up. I'm ready to go. I just fell asleep. So I'm going to miss him. He was a sweet man. He always had something encouraging to say. I never heard Galen say anything ugly to anybody. I never heard him talk down to somebody. I never heard him speak angrily with anybody, not even Kelly. And we've all done that. He's going to be missed. And I hate the fact that we didn't have as much time with him. I hate the fact that we didn't get to be part of his funeral. But he had his funeral at, where was it, Wrestling?
Wrestling on Monday.
Yeah. It was on Monday. I left my card with the nursing home because they wouldn't tell me his kids' names because I wasn't an emergency contact on there. I wasn't part of the family, so they couldn't give out that information. They said they would pass my card on to them, but maybe they already had the service planned. But I hate that someone that meant so much to us, we didn't get to help send him away. And it would have meant something for all of us to been able to have a service here for him. Kathy, tell me again, was that your cousin?
Yeah, Clarice Jones is mother's nephew's wife. Carlton and Clarice are the ones we always went down on the 4th of July to visit them and their family down in DuPont, Louisiana. And she had a massive heart attack this morning. I don't know any details. All I know is what Gary told me whenever I got into the office. I had a message, so I called him back.
And she passed away.
And she had a massive heart attack this morning and did not make it. It's Frank Lawrence's mother.
Okay, Frank Lawrence is the one that's coming down.
But he's not
coming
now.
Oh, he's not?
It's been changed.
Okay.
Because of her death.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to make sure we got that name on the prayer request list, Larry, for the website. But, you know, when I was thinking about Mr. Rich, you know, he was making plans. He was caring. But God has a time for us. I want you to look at the scripture verse I'm going to read, and it's in Hebrews, the 9th chapter. I'm going to start in the 27th verse. Scripture says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know, we just never know when that time comes for us. We can be making plans, we can have a lot of things that we are looking forward to, but when our time comes, it comes. You know, there's a website that I saw, so I went on it. It's called www.longtolive.com. On this website, you can go in there, and they have a what they call a death clock on there. And you put in your age and answer a few questions about your health, and it's going to give you an estimated day of expiration. I was afraid I put all that information on there, they were going to tell me tomorrow. But I want y'all to know that it looks like the day I'm going to pass away is October 3rd, 2033. So that's what the website says, so it must be right. You know, I don't trust the death clock that you find on a website. I believe in an accuracy and validity of that death clock. But you know what? God has a death clock for all of us. For you and for me. And that death clock is ticking. And it's ticking for us every single day. I know when you start talking about death, that there are three things that people don't like preachers to preach about. They don't want you to preach about death. They don't want you to preach about giving money. And they don't want you to preach about hell. But you know what? We need to understand that death is real. We need to understand that all of us are going to face that day. Unless Jesus comes first, each and every one of us will face that day when we die. There are people who don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. These people act like they're just going to live forever. But the truth is, we're going to face death. The good news is, the scriptures tell us we don't have to fear death. Mr. Rich wasn't afraid to die. I don't think he was wanting to die because he had these plans and stuff to go forward. And I believe he was enjoying parts of his life. There were things that bothered him. You know, he was still was in some bad health. But he was one of those guys that could make the best of a bad situation. And that's something that we all need to learn to do more. But scripture tells us that we don't have to fear death. The Bible says in Hebrews, the second chapter, the 15th verse, and the scripture says that Jesus came to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to this bondage. They spent their whole lifetime being afraid of death. Death is something that would keep people from living. The fear of death kept people from enjoying their life. Listen, we need to look at death, understand on death. We need to be truthful about death. One of the things when we talk about death, we need to understand that there is an appointment with death for you and me. It's not when it's said in the scripture here, and it is appointed for men to die once. That appointment literally means it's been laid up or laid aside. You could say there's been a reservation for you. When you make a reservation for a hotel room, that hotel room is set aside for you to use at a specific time. That's what our death is. We have a reservation for death. We have been appointed at a time for us to die. And people keep this appointment with death every day. I got these statistics out of the paper. You know that three people die in this world every second. Three people. That means that 180 people die every minute. That means 11,000 people die every hour. Means 260,000 people die every single day in the world. And 95 million people die each year. Amen. Isn't that a staggering number?
Amen.
I didn't look up the birth rate, but it must be more than that because our world just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And people are starting to live longer and longer. death doesn't happen by accident. It does by an appointment. Scriptures say we are appointed once to die. You can't deny this. You can't change it. You can't delay it. We are appointed on that day. My dad used to say, when he was joking around, he said, "I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens." We have this fear of death because we don't understand death sometimes. It's not something we've ever experienced before. It's something that's going to be new to us, like our birth into this world. We've never experienced that but one time. Death is when something we're going to experience it, and we can't go ask people what that's like because it's not something that people have done. Do you realize that there are two things about death that bother us? One of it is the certainty of it. I'm telling you, we are all going to die. We know that we are going to die. You know that the human beings are the only living organism in this universe that know they are going to die. Animals don't know they're going to die. Plants don't know they're going to die. But we as humans, we understand that at one point in our life, we are going to die. It's what we do with that. You know, we're upset about the certainty of it, and we're upset about the uncertainty of it. We know we're going to die, but we don't know when. We don't know where. We don't know how. Let me ask you, if I could tell you today when you were going to die, would you want to know? I don't believe that we would want that information. I don't know, maybe some of you would, but death is something that we know we're going to do, we don't know when, and that's one of the things that we need to understand about death. We have this appointment with death. We can't change it. We can't cancel it. It's going to happen because Jesus comes first. The second thing that we need to understand about death, after death, there's an appearance that we have to make. It says in verse 27, I read the first half of it, it's appointed for men to die once. The second part of that, but after this, the judgment. First there's death, and then there's judgment. Let me give you some information that you probably already know. But there are three words in the Bible that are always linked together. They're always in this order. It is sin, death, and judgment. The reason we die is because of sin. Romans 5:12 says this: "Wherefore, as by one man, that one man being Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." They say that heart disease is the biggest cause of death in America, but that's actually not true. The number one cause of death, not only in America, but all over the world, is sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." The reason for death is because of sin. The result of death is judgment. I know that we think and we look around and we see people sure do get away with a lot of things. We see people, I love watching these ID channels and that have this dateline. And there are stories where people have murdered somebody and 20 years later they still haven't solved it. And we look around and we see and think, you know what, that people sure do get away with a lot of things. Listen, don't fret about that. Because nobody gets away with anything. Because after death, there comes judgment. You realize that your life right now, everything you do is seen by God. God sees everything we do. It says in Hebrews 4, the 13th chapter. The 4th chapter, the 13th verse. It says, neither is there any creation that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto eyes of him with whom we have to do. God is watching everything we do. He does not miss anything. Every sinful thought that passes through our mind, God knows about it. Every sinful act that we do, God sees it. Every sinful word we speak with our mouth, God hears it. God sees everything. There is no sin hid from God. There is no sin that we can get away with. We're not, this world is not getting away with anything. And the scripture says, after death, there is judgment. There's good news here. Verse 28. Verse 28 is tied to verse 27 by one little word. This one simple little word. So. It says in verse 27, there's an appointment that all men will die, and then after that the judgment. And then verse 28 says, so. Verse 28 tells us Jesus is the solution to every one of these problems. He is the solution to all of these problems. He came and died for our sins. He rose again so we could overcome death. He's coming again so we don't have to face judgment. Jesus solved the problem of being sinners. He solved the problem of being afraid of death. He has solved the problem of having to stand before God and being judged. Every one of us have to face Jesus. The Bible says that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Nobody's going to get away with denying Christ. Nobody's going to get away with the things they've done. They may do it for a while, but in the end, our sins are going to be found out. The only people that have to face judgment are those people who refuse to accept Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery indignation which will devour all the adversaries. You reject Jesus, you accept judgment. You accept Jesus, you avoid judgment. Jesus came to die for our sin problem. He came to die for our fear of death problem. He came to die to take care of our problem with being judged on that day when He comes again. If you have accepted His forgiveness, you will be spared judgment. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you will be condemned to judgment by your own disbelief. The good news is for us, until we draw that last breath here on earth, it's never too late to escape the penalty of sin. Never too late to overcome the fear of death. Never too late to avoid the problem of judgment. If you choose not to do it, when that death clock ticks, and nobody knows when your death clock is going to stop, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, there's no do-overs, there's no mulligans, there's no loopholes that you can squeeze through, there's no mistrials. You will stand before God, and God will say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew." If you accept Jesus Christ, when you stand before God, instead of judgment, He's going to say to you, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." It's important that we as Christians, we don't have to fear death. We need to understand that the death clock is ticking. And when the death clock ticks its last tick, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, your last breath here on earth is your first breath in heaven. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, your last breath on earth will be your first breath in hell. And you will be separated from God. And God would love you so much that He would send His Son to die for you. I don't want you to live your life afraid of death. When someone dies, like Mr. Rich died, we miss his presence. But I know that Galen is singing with the choirs in heaven. He loved singing. He sang with Catherine Kuhlman. A song came up here. I get to see him because I'm sitting up here and I see his face. Y'all are all sitting behind him. But when a song came up, he knew he would close his eyes. And his voice had kind of gone by now. But man, he loved to sing those songs. And if we had a song that he knew, that amen. Amen. when I said something, or Larry, I think Larry was the last sermon that he got to hear. And he came up to me and said, "Boy, that Larry can preach." I said, "Who tell him that?" And I think he came to Larry and told him how much he enjoyed that message. He would tell Tim how much he enjoyed his messages. It was just, he was an encourager. He would say nice things to people. Can't we do that? We can, if he can do that, we can do that. We can be encouragers, and I'm lousy at that. My wife, I'm not very good at just encouraging people. I'm a freaking pastor, and I'm not very good at that. I need to get better at that. Because I have this idea when somebody comes to me to have a problem, I say, "Well, you just keep having faith. You just keep trusting God." Sometimes they want to hear more than that. They want you to empathize with them. They want you to feel their pain and not just say, "Well, just hang in there." You know, that's not what they need to hear every time. And that was one of the things Galen could do. He could, he loved you, brother. He loved the fact that y'all were making plans and those kind of things. And you can be glad that in the last days of his life, he had a good friend like you to count on. And I think everyone in here can be better off because of what Mr. Rich meant to us. And so let's not forget that. Let's make that part of who we are. Let's try to remember what he did and try to do a little bit of it ourselves. Listen, I don't want you to leave here today afraid to die. I mean, you may not understand death. I get that. People ask me what happens when you die. And I tell you what I tell them. The moment you take your last breath here, the angels have come and got you. And that's something that people want to hear. They don't want to hear that people are in purgatory somewhere just waiting for something to happen. They want them to think that they're going to come back again in another form. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, absent from the body, present in spirit with him. And so we need to understand that as sad as it is for us, Galen is where he wants to be right now. He is in the choir of God, and that's where he wants to be. I want you to understand. I want you to be prepared for death, because your clock is ticking, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Nothing you can do to delay it. It's God's time. And the only thing that's going to stop that is Jesus comes before them. If Jesus comes before them, then we're just going to be called into heaven altogether. Whatever it is, when that time comes, either Jesus comes or your death clock stops ticking, you have better accepted Jesus Christ, because there's no chances. No do-overs, no second chances. But when we do that, we don't have to be afraid to death. We can live, and we need to live like that country song said. We need to live like we're not. We need to make every day count, every day precious. Every chance you get, you tell people you love them. Every chance you get, you spend time with your family and friends. Do the things that you can do to help other people. I I'm so encouraged that because I know deep down in my heart that when we can do something good for somebody, God is just smiling. We're actually doing what God wants us to do. Priscilla talked about Peter walking on the water. Don't forget, Peter did walk on the water. He did. He walked on the water. And we can do the things that Jesus did. We just got to have our faith in order to keep it up. And let's keep it up. I want you to remember Galen, what a great guy he was. I want you to remember that he was prepared for that day when he came. He wasn't expecting it so early, but you know what? The day when it comes for you, you may not be expecting it either. Many of us are. I've been at the deathbed of many people. A lot of them had been sick for a while, and they knew that their time was coming. And they had been preparing for it, and they were ready to go. It's these sudden deaths like this that come as a real shock to us, because we didn't prepare for that. And that's our mistake. But you're not God. You don't make that decision. But we all need to be prepared for ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves for that day when that clock stops ticking. And live our life not afraid of death, not afraid of judgment. Because we know that Jesus has intervened for us and we've accepted Him. And there is no fear except for Him. Heavenly Father, as we come to You today, we think about our friend Mr. Rich, what he meant to us. Father, I just lift his family to You right now. Father, I don't know his family. He had daughters and sons. Father, I never got to meet them. They weren't much in his life. They were at the end of his life. So, Father, I pray that this terrible situation of him passing away without him getting a chance to spend much time with them will make them remember the good times, Father. That's what we want for them. We want them to remember the good times they've had with their dad. Father, I just speak blessings on them. Father, I just give them peace and forgive them for the sins they may have had. Whatever the situation was, Father, may they know You as Your children, Father. They may know You. They understand that Mr. Rich is at a better place. Father, help us as we grow through this church. There's been so many in our church, Father, who have passed away. Father, I just pray that You will continue to bless us. Father, that when our time comes, we'll be ready to go. Now, I always remember when I do a memorial service or a funeral, I always remember what my mother used to say all the time, Father. This life will soon be past, but only what's done for God will last. Father, we need to understand that. We need to make lasting impressions on people by showing them the love of God. Father, bless the people here today. Father, if there's anybody here today that have been not listening to You, that Priscilla talked about, Father, listening to Satan and listening to his lies, Father, may they reject that today. May they walk today without fear of death, without fear of judgment, that they have invited you into their life, and that nothing can separate the love of God from His people. Father, thank you for that, and I pray this prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
April, I guess, is going to...